Michael. That's my son. All right, so glad to have all of you here this morning. If you don't know who I am Wendy Bazat. I am his wife, also co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard, just by default, by being his wife. I just get to, just kidding. You guys are supposed to laugh. So we are continuing our series on Crazy Makers, like he said. But before we do that, I wanted us to say our mission statement together. If you're not familiar with this, you're new here, we say our mission statement every week so that we can get it down deep in our guts, okay? So this is our mission statement. We here at Mercy Vineyard, say it with me, we are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That is what we are all about here, love, grow, and go. And we are talking about Crazy Makers this week. For the last 2 weeks, we all have people in our lives that make us a little crazy. Am I right? Yeah. You're not supposed to nod if the person is sitting next to you. Well. but honestly, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we make other people crazy sometimes too. It's just human nature. Last week, Lee talked about how to deal with the people that drive us nuts, mainly by seeing them through God's eyes. Because if we see people through God's eyes, have less tendency to drive us crazy. And today we're going to go a little bit deeper and talk about how to deal with conflict in people that we interact with regularly. So our family, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, our church family, our parents, our kids, right? Because it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship, you're going to have conflict, right? That's one thing that we all have in common is that we all bicker with our family from time to time, right? We all do. And our family members are often our biggest offenders because they are the closest to us, right? So no one can get under our skin quite as well as our family because they know how to get under our skin. They know what buttons to push, whether they mean to or not. It's just we fall into patterns. And sometimes there are things that people, even the closest to us, there are things that they do that drive us crazy. So I confessed to my alpha group, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I confessed to them that loud chewing drives me up a wall, like loud mouth noises. And there may be one or two people in my family who do that. So I'm just saying sometimes I might have to leave the room when they're eating. Just saying. But sometimes it's weird things that drive us a little nuts, right? Sometimes it's as simple as not putting clothes in the hamper or not calling to say they're going to be late. That drive anybody else nuts? Yeah. So even if you're able to overlook that stuff, there are going to be things that make you upset or hurt. It's just a fact of life. And we don't really have to be taught the art of conflict because all you have to do is watch toddlers, go back in the nursery, watch the kids. Okay, they will fight each other to the death over the same toy. And nobody had to show them how to do that. I will never forget when Hudson was just a toddler. Yes, I'm telling 90. He was in the nursery with his buddy. They were like a year old, and they're sitting on the floor together, and Hudson saw a toy on the other side of his buddy Davis that he wanted, and he just climbed right over him, like didn't go around. He just mowed him down. And the poor kid was like in a helmet. Yeah, Davis wore a helmet, too, so probably a good thing because I think he fell when that Hudson mowed him down. But anyway, we don't have to be taught. We live in a fallen world. There's conflict all around us, right? And our enemy, the devil, loves to help us fight. He loves to help us see each other as uncaring or being frustrating on purpose. Don't you ever feel like sometimes the other person is doing it on purpose just to bug you? Yeah. So we have somebody in our family. I'm telling my family this morning, and they can tell on me anytime, and they will. So Lee mentioned last week, just come to our house on board game night if you want to see conflict. because it gets nasty. And it's not because, and you know what? It's not always because of me. She's making fun of me because I'm super competitive. And then Lee is competitive, but he doesn't like to admit it. And if he's winning, he'll sit over there being like, and he's a trash talker. You all know that if you've done trivia with him. You all know that. He's a trash talker. And then there's someone in my family who will spend the whole game trying to thwart you from winning rather than trying to win themselves. So they're just constantly trying to. So don't play sorry with Forrest. I'm just saying. He will spend the whole game trying to send you back home, back to start. He doesn't care if he wins. He just wants you back in the start. So we don't play board games. So we're going to learn something today that has the potential to change the way that we approach the crazy makers in our relationships and how we can deal with conflict. There are many versions. We all have a default approach to dealing with conflict, right? And there are many versions to that. And there are many different types of people. But what we're going to talk about today is that there's really only one source of conflict. There's just one. I've been reading about this topic over the last several weeks, and every source that I read or listened to, whether it was biblical or not, pointed to this source in one way, shape, or form. This is the source of conflict, and I'm going to share it with you. You guys are so lucky. So if we're able to acknowledge what I'm about to share, and if we're able to own it, then we can seriously make progress in the area of conflict, and the tension in our relationships will decrease. So we're also going to talk about three basic principles we can apply in our lives to help us get through conflict. This is going to happen. But before we dig in, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that there's nothing that we face in life that you don't give us wisdom to deal with it, and you don't show us what to do. So, God, I thank you for the truth in your word. I thank you that your Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us as we read your word. And so we just lean on you, and we listen for your spirit and your voice to guide us. God, let it be your words and not mine this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't, we'll have the scriptures up here on the screen. But we're going to read Ephesians 4, chapters 20, verses 25 to 27. It says this: "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So here's what this says in a nutshell, and then we're going to break it apart. It says, it's basically saying, deal with conflict before it deals with you. So our first basic principle is this, and it's going to sound funny, but it is to embrace conflict. So in other words, don't run from conflict, right? The scripture tells us to put off falsehood. So when something comes up, and it will, deal with it. Because if you have a conflict in your heart in a relationship, whether you say it out loud or not, you have a conflict in the relationship. So by leaving it unresolved and by not bringing it out into the open, that's not peacemaking. That's peacekeeping. It's not peacemaking, okay? Because we pretend that everything is fine in the name of peace. We're actually adding conflict to the relationship. And so that's not biblical peace. Biblical peace is called shalom, and it's basically the wholeness and harmony of God. So we're not whole if we're holding conflict, if we have conflict in our heart towards someone else, right? We're not whole. So that's not peace. And it is possible to work through conflict in ways that actually manifest shalom rather than negate it. Okay? So how many of you come from or know a family where they never talk about anything in terms of their relationships and they pretend like everything is fine just to keep the peace? And how healthy are those people? How healthy are those relationships? How fake do they feel, right? They don't feel healthy at all. And that's not what God intends for our relationship. So when we don't deal with conflict in us and in our relationships, it actually causes damage. Verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. So we will get angry. That's why the verse says, in your anger. Basically, you're saying, you're going to get angry, right? So anger is most often a manifestation of hurt, right? We get angry when something we value is devalued. So anger is not a sin in and of itself, obviously, but it can very quickly lead to sin if we don't deal with it. The verse goes on to say, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. So in other words, deal with it quickly. When we don't deal with the anger quickly, it kind of becomes a part of who we are, doesn't it? It just sits in there and it festers, and eventually it's not really about the issue anymore that we had with that person. We're just angry in general. Sometimes, have you ever been angry with somebody and you get to the point where you're like, I don't even remember what we were fighting about. I'm just mad. Right? Because we don't deal with the anger, and we just let it sit in there. And that's conflict inside of you, right? Now, I want to sidestep for just a few moments before we hit the next two principles, because I told you that I was going to tell you the main source for conflict, okay? So if we're going to be able to embrace conflict, and if we're going to be able to deal with our anger, and we're going to be able to deal with our conflict with others, we need to know where that comes from. So we're going to look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And verse 1 says this, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Now I want to read that again. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Wait, it's not the other person? It's not the other person that's driving us nuts? It's not the other person that's the source? That it's not something inside of them? Well, James is saying it comes from within me. It comes from within you. Right? So in every single conflict you are in, there's a desire in you that is spilling out on all the people around you. Now, like I said, I saw or heard this with every source that I tap for dealing with conflict. So if you remember this, you'd be able to step back in the middle of a conflict before it even begins. And you can think this. Part of what I'm feeling right now is that I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I want. Isn't that why we get mad? I mean, in every single conflict that we're in, it's something about what we want. And this can be a game changer. So I want you to think about this and write this down. Conflict in me creates conflict around me. So we don't like to hear this. Because we want to hear about how everyone else around us is the problem, right? Because we're all talking about our crazy makers. Oh, good. We're going to deal with all the people that drive us insane and how we can get rid of them or whatever, how we can fix them, which is impossible. But and honestly, the people around you, conflict in them is causing conflict around them, okay? So it works both ways, but you can't control them and their responses. You can only control yourself. I know, isn't that frustrating? I can't control them. Part of why you're angry, and often a larger part that you think or want to admit, is that there's something you want from them, and you're not getting what you want. Now, if you do this, if you can pause and say that part of the problem is not getting what you want, you're going to lose leverage. And we don't like to lose leverage in the argument or the conflict, right? As soon as you own your part, you lose leverage. But it doesn't matter, because the tension level will decrease. And you'll see it begin to dissipate, because when you're owning your own part, how can you continue to battle with each other as much, right? So if you begin to do this, and then your spouse or your kids or whoever you're in conflict with begins to follows suit, think of the way that the conflict will decrease in your life. So in order to embrace conflict appropriately, I need to acknowledge my part. I must acknowledge my part. Verse 2 says, we're back in James 4, verse 2 it says, "You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." So before we storm down the hallway to confront or fire off that spicy email, spicy, he threw me off, or start sulking around or playing the let's see if my husband can figure out what's wrong with me game. No, you do it. Let's see, he's got to know. Like, have you ever, your husband asks you, what's wrong? And you're like, oh, you should know. Yeah, don't play that game. He doesn't know, trust me. Right? He doesn't know. Before you do those things, have we thought to ask God? Have we thought to ask God for what we want? So, no, because we're mad, right? And then if we do pray, we tend to do things like, God, would you just show him how wrong he is? Would you just enlighten him on, these are my prayers. No, I'm joking. But I mean, honestly, don't we pray those things? God, would you open his eyes or would you open her eyes? Help her see. Help him know what he's doing, right? Those are the prayers that we pray. And are they ever really very effective? Because God is more concerned with dealing with you in your heart anyway in those moments. He'll deal with them. Don't worry about that. So we don't tell God what we want, often because we don't even know what we want. So we must ask God. We have to ask God, right? What if what you want you're not getting because you're trying to squeeze it out of somebody who doesn't have it to give? Brené Brown, author, says to ask yourself, what if this person is doing the best that they can? Because if we look at it in that light, I struggle with that sometimes because I have this, I don't know what you would even call it, but I think we all do to some degree think things like, well, they should know. They should understand. They should think. Common courtesy would say, right? But maybe that person in that moment is doing the best that they can. And if we come at it from that approach, well, we're not going to ask them to give us something they don't have to give. Let's look at verse 3, James 4. It says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So before you go to the other person, before we confront, we have to let God examine our heart. Let God examine my heart. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But we're going to go back to our three principles. So number one, we said embrace conflict, right? Number two, and we're back in Ephesians, number two is remember that the other person is not your enemy. So the real enemy, the devil, wants to divide you. So when you see the other person as the enemy, that's when the nastiness begins. That's when all the ugliness comes out. And our passage in Ephesians 4 ends with, "Do not give the devil a foothold." And when you get angry and you see the other person as your enemy, and you don't let God examine your heart and show you what you want, and allow him to confront the conflict within yourself, you're letting the enemy win. You're just letting him win. I have to focus on my part, but I would rather blame you because you should and you promised and you never, right? But if you can remind yourself right away before things escalate that they're not the enemy, they're on your side, right? Then you can go into the conversation in a more loving frame of mind. And you can pray and actually envision yourself approaching it with grace and humility. And that's called faith, when we envision ourselves approaching a situation like that and being able to deal with it in love. That's having faith that God can work through us in that way. Before you talk about the problem, even praying together, that's powerful. If you can remember to do that, especially with your spouse or your child, before you have a difficult conversation, if you can remember to say, you know what, let's just pray real quick. That could change everything, right? Because then we're bringing Jesus into it, whose whole heart is about reconciliation, and it's hard to stay angry when we're praying for the other person and with the other person, isn't it? So, have you ever been in an argument or conflict where the more you try, it seems like the worse it gets? You're just going round and round. And then, you know, a 15-minute disagreement turns into a 2-hour fight, and you're slamming doors, and yeah. You're actually creating greater conflict because you're looking, you know, we're constantly seeing what the other person is doing instead of looking at the conflict within ourselves. And imagine if we put these principles into practice regularly and we could stop before it got crazy like that. But wait a minute. You are not my enemy. And just take a moment to figure it out. What do we want? Let God examine our hearts, right? And if you can stop and agree that neither one of you is the enemy, then you can begin to ask yourselves what the real issue is, and then you're going to find it within yourselves, each of you, within yourself. Okay, so the third principle is to stay connected to your source of life. So Jesus has to be our source of worth, security, significance, approval, value. He has to be our source. And when we try to get these things from someone else, conflict will ensue because they cannot give it to you. So if your identity is wrapped up in getting your way, then getting your way is going to be more important than the person who is not letting you get your way. If your identity is wrapped up in getting approval, then getting that approval is going to be more important than the person who is not valuing you the way that you think they should. And so God is the only one who can meet those needs, and other people simply add to those feelings. You know, Lee can't be my source of significance, but he can add to my feelings of significance. But I can't look to him for that, or for my security, or for my value, because he can't give me that. He's a human being, right? And often our reality is far different from our perception anyway. Right, because we perceive that the other person is disrespecting us, or we perceive that the other person is driving us crazy on purpose. But is that the case? Brené Brown calls this the stories that we make up. We make up stories, don't we? About what the other person is thinking and feeling, and we tell ourselves these stories. So I'll give you an example, which has never happened. I come home from shopping, and I show Lee a new outfit that I bought, let's say. I put it on. I don't know really honestly if that has happened. But anyway, if I come up to him, honey, what do you think? And he barely responds, I might start telling myself some stories. Okay, so the way my mind works, here are some stories I might tell myself. Number one, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Maybe I should just take it back. Okay? Or I might think, he's mad that I spent money. That's why he's not responding. He's mad that I spent the money. He's wondering how much it cost. Right? Please. Please. Say, are we going to start right now? Because who's the money spender in our house? Oh, don't point fingers at me. I love you. Number three, I might think he's mad at me about something else. And that's why he's not really responding. There's something going on. He's upset with me, right? Or I might think, he doesn't think I'm pretty anymore. He thinks I look old or whatever, right? How many of you have been married for a long time and you wonder if your spouse still, you know, because they see you're ugly. So these are stories I could be telling myself. We're going to get in an argument. I guarantee you we're going to get in an argument. Because I'm going to feel insecure. And because I'm going to feel like he's not giving me what I want. I'm not going to be thinking that consciously. That's just how it's going to happen. That's going to be my default, right? It's more likely than any of those stories, it's more likely that either he's tired, he's preoccupied. I came in and asked him while he was doing something else. And he's just thinking about that thing. It could be that he is having a bad day, but it has nothing to do with me, right? But if I'm telling myself a story that it does, we could end up in a conflict. And so I can identify the story that I'm making up, and I can let God correct that. Or I can share it with Lee. The story I'm making up is that you're upset that I spent the money. If it's true, he can, confirm. But, and he can correct that, but it could, just that small thing could change what could become, a tiny little, unease in me. It could become this big blown out thing when it doesn't need to be, right? But when our identity is on the line, and we feel threatened, we can't help but get nasty. We get nasty when we feel like we're not being valued, even if we don't value ourselves that way. So if your fullness comes from